Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Trey Carey, the lead pastor of Modern Worship. We hope this week's message connects with you and helps you connect with God. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBoro. We also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays, both in the sanctuary and in the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the idea of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. We hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life.
Oh man. Anybody ever been in a situation like that before? Can you relate to that scene? God, just give me a sign. Send me a signal. Have you ever said that to God before? Or maybe not those exact words, but maybe you've said something like this. God, I've got this situation at church. Would you just give me a sign? God, I'm in this relationship and I don't know what to do. Would you just send me a signal? God, my kids are making these choices. Would you just send me a sign or give them a sign? How many of you have ever been in that place before where you've waited for that big booming voice in the sky to say, go this way, don't go that way, say this, don't say that. Tell your kids this, or maybe not the big booming voice, but maybe you've waited for a big billboard in the sky to have the message, the words that you've been waiting to see, and it never came. How many of you have been in that place before? Am I the only one? You know, the only time I can remember that happening for me, Lily Brooks, our daughter, was having her tonsils out, and it was minor surgery, but you know what they say, it's only minor surgery when it's someone else's child. We were so nervous about that surgery, and we were praying, and Miriam sent us a beautiful prayer video that morning, which calmed our hearts, but we were still so anxious, and we left to go to the hospital. We went outside, and there was a big cloud in the sign of a cross that morning, and that just gave us that assurance that everything was going to be okay that morning. But you know what? That was that day. And every other day, at least for me, I haven't heard the big booming voice. I haven't seen the big billboard that has the words that I need to hear. So I want to start there this morning. I want to talk about that, being in that place where we wait and we watch and we listen and we wonder if God will send us a sign. God, just give me a sign. You know, that's just one way that we do that, that we reach out to God in desperation for an answer. There's another way that we do this. Sometimes we ask God for a specific response, right? We create this scenario and then we ask God to work in that situation. Have you ever done that before? In the Bible, they call that putting out a fleece. Have you ever heard that phrase before? It comes from this story, this really great story in the Old Testament book of Judges. There was a man by the name of Gideon. And Gideon described himself as the least of his family in the weakest clan of the people of God. And yet God comes to Gideon and he asks him to do something incredible, something incredibly significant for the future of God's people and something incredibly difficult. He was going to have to step out in faith and do something really hard. And so you can understand why Gideon's first response was this. Listen to what he says in verse 17. He says, "If I have found favor in your eyes," speaking to God, his prayer is this, "If I have now found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it's really you talking to me." Have you ever prayed that prayer to God before? Something's on your heart or something's in your mind that you think might be God, but you're like, I don't know if that's God or if that's me or if that's what I had for breakfast. I don't know how to go forward, right? So God, would you just give me a sign that it's really you talking to me? Have you ever been in that place before? The amazing thing about this story is that in this particular situation, God honors Gideon's request. He gives him this incredible sign. I don't have time to go through the whole chapter today, but I would encourage you this week, go back and read Judges chapter 6. It's an incredible story. God gives Gideon this amazing sign that it is indeed him that's talking to him. And Gideon even says, "Alas, the sovereign Lord is before me." He recognizes that it's God. But so you'd think that would be it, right? He would just go and do what God told him to do. Listen to what happens next. When it comes time for him to go and do what God had called him to do, Gideon says this: "If you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised, look, I will put a wool fleece on the threshing floor. And if there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground around it is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand as you have said." So he creates this kind of scenario for God to answer him in a really specific way. He puts out a fleece. That's where the phrase comes from. And amazingly, God does it. Gideon wakes up the next morning and he goes outside. The ground around it is dry and he wrings out a pool of water from this fleece that he's laid out on the ground. So that's enough, right? Now Gideon's going to go and do exactly what God tells him to do, right? No. Listen to what happens after this. Gideon comes to God a third time, and can you imagine what it would be like going to God the third time and saying, "God, this is all really great, but listen." He starts in a really good way. He says, "Do not be angry with me, but let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece, but this time make the fleece dry and the ground around it to be covered with dew." And God does it again. This tells me two things. Every time I hear this story, I think about this. Number one, God is such a gracious God who is patient with us in our doubts and in our struggles and in our even putting God to the test. God meets us where we are. But the second thing that it reminds me of is that it reminds me of that even when we really know what it is that we need to do or we're supposed to do, there's a difference between knowing and doing it, right? It's hard for us to do because deep down, most of the time, we already kind of have an idea of what it is that we want God to say, don't we? When we have the prayers, we have kind of preconceived notions of how we want God to answer those prayers or how we think God should answer them, right? If I'm honest, that's what I do a lot. This morning's Father's Day, right? And I was thinking about how to honor our dads. And on Mother's Day, you know, I told a really sweet story about my mom. But I thought today the way that I can honor my dad and I can honor dads is by telling a bad dad joke. Okay, so dads, this is for you. And hopefully you'll think it's funny too. You know, a dad joke is basically, the definition of a dad joke basically is a joke that only dad thinks is funny. But maybe you'll think it's funny too. But it definitely illustrates this point that I'm making this morning. So a rabbi, a priest, and a Methodist minister don't walk into a bar. They come together and they're going to start this ministry together. It's this joint venture. And so they raise all this money to start this new venture. And then they have to decide how they're going to use all this money, how to allocate their funds. And so this begins a conversation about how they talk about giving in their church or in their congregations. And so the rabbi begins and says, "Well, in my congregation, the way that we handle that is we draw a big circle on the ground and we take all the money that we've raised and we throw it up in the air. And everything that lands inside the circle, we give to God. And everything outside the circle, we keep." And so the priest says, "Well, that's similar to what we do at our church. We draw a big circle on the ground, and we throw the money up in the air, and whatever lands outside the circle, we give to God, and whatever lands inside the circle, we keep." Have you heard this one before? Okay. And so the Methodist minister says, well, that's kind of what we do at our church. He said, we take the money and we throw it up in the air, and whatever God wants, he catches. I told you it was going to be bad. Thank you. Thank you. New Father Joe Woolsey. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I had somebody come up to me after the 8:30 service, and they said, you know, it takes a really good man to tell a really bad joke. And I said, thank you very much. So maybe you've not done that before, but I bet you've done something like this. You've created a scenario like this. God, I'm going to turn on the radio, and the very next song that plays, I want that to be the answer to what it is that I'm going through. Have you ever done that before? Or maybe you've taken your Bible and said, okay, God, I'm going to open this Bible, and I'm just going to open it up, and I'm going to point to a verse, and that's going to be the answer to my problem. Have you ever done that before? I have. I have done that many times. And I tell you what, there have been times where the answer has been right on, and I've still done something else because I already had an idea of what it was that I wanted to do. I'll never forget. When we were living in Alabama, and I was offered a job back here in Tennessee. It was a really good job, and we were really struggling with whether to take the job or not. And so what we did was this was when Lily Brooks was really young, and she was still crawling. And so we took a pair of shoes, and we put one shoe on one side of the room. We put another shoe on the other side of the room. And we said, okay, this shoe represents taking the job, and this one is not taking the job. And we set Lily Brooks down and told her to crawl to one of the shoes. Do you remember that? And so she crawled to the shoe that said, take the job. And instead of thanks be to God, do you know what we said? Best 2 out of 3. We didn't end up taking the job, and I'm thankful we didn't, because we may not be here. But those are those examples of the ways that we sort of try to create these scenarios for God to work, if we're honest, right? I share all these things with you this morning because today, in addition to Father's Day, we're going to be beginning a conversation that we're going to have over the summer. We're starting a new series, and it's called Road Signs. And it's basically about this idea of discernment, of what discernment looks like in our life, in our life of faith, as individuals and also as a church. What does it look like to go down the road of faith and to recognize those road signs? The really simple definition that I want us to work with over the next few weeks for discernment is simply this: finding God's will and following God's way. It sounds so simple, and yet we all know how difficult it is for us to do that. I've been reading a book recently by one of my favorite authors, Henry Nouwen, and it's about discernment, and it's really been helpful to me. The title of the book is Discernment, but the subtitle is what really stuck out to me, is really kind of the catalyst for this series. The subtitle is Reading the Signs of Daily Life. And the book is really about not necessarily what we need to say to God in those times of decision, but it's creating this daily discipline where we realize that God is speaking to us all the time. Listen to what Nouwen says. He begins the book by saying this: God is always speaking to us, individually and as the people of God, at different times in different ways, through dreams, visions, prophets, messengers, scripture, tradition, experience, reason, nature, and events. And he defines discernment as the spiritual practice that accesses and seeks to understand what God is trying to say. He says discernment is not a step-by-step program or a systematic pattern. It is a regular discipline of listening, a prayerful practice of reading the subtle signs in daily life. It's not just asking for a sign during those specific points of decisions, but it's learning to see the signs in everyday life from God, who is always speaking to us every day in every way. So the scripture that we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks comes from the Gospel of John. And in it, Jesus sets up this idea of how we can understand discernment in a completely different way than the ways that I've been talking about this morning so far. Listen to what Jesus says. He simply says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them from my hands. Now, Jesus isn't saying there's anything wrong with desperate pleas to God in times of decision. I think God wants us to come to Him. God's not saying there's anything wrong with putting out fleeces or drawing straws. You know, in the book of Acts, the disciples cast lots to decide who's going to replace Judas as the 12. So there's nothing wrong with those things. But what Jesus is talking about is something different. He's talking about what it means to be a sheep who knows the good shepherd. The kind of sheep that listens and follows the shepherd's lead. What Jesus is talking about in this passage is really what Jesus is always talking about. What it means to be in a relationship with God. A relationship that shapes all of our decisions. A relationship that shapes all of the responsibilities and activities that are a part of our daily lives. He's saying it begins with this relationship of following and listening to the God who cares for us and loves us and meets us where we are and seeks to guide us, not just in the big things, but in everything. And the irony of this story is that Jesus is talking to the people of God, leaders of the faith, people who've been asking for generations for God to give them a sign. Would you give us a sign, God? Would you send this Messiah who will be a sign of your care and your presence for your people? And here is Jesus, the Messiah, the God made flesh. And instead of receiving Him, they're questioning Him and even rejecting Him. You know, if I'm honest, that's what I do sometimes too. I ask a question to God. I ask God for a sign. And when the answer comes and it's not the answer that I expected or it's not the sign that I was hoping for, then at best I miss it, and at worst I reject it. There's another old story that's told about a man who was praying, and he was saying, God, I want you to use me. Would you give me a sign what that would look like? And while he was praying, he feels a tug on his shirt, and it's his son. He says, Dad, can we go out in the backyard and play? And he says to his son, Not now. I'm praying. He goes back to praying. God, would you just show me how I could be of use for you and your kingdom. And as that happens, he gets a phone call. And it's a friend who hadn't seen in a long time. He knows he's been going through a tough time. Hey, could you meet for lunch today? His answer was, Not now. I'm praying. He goes back a third time. God, I just want to be a vessel for you. I want to be a tool in your hands. Would you just use me? And as he's praying, there's a knock on the door, and it's somebody from the local church. They're taking donations of food cans for their food pantry. Could you spare a few cans? And the man says, Not now. I'm praying. Now, surely we would never do that. But it illustrates to us that sometimes the signs that we're waiting for, the signs, that ways that God speaks to us, are the interruptions that happen in our life on a daily basis. And so instead of asking, well, God, should I do this or do that? Maybe the better question that we should be asking is, are we listening to the God who is always speaking to us? Are we seeing the God who's always revealing Himself to us? Do we have ears to hear, as Jesus said, or eyes to see? I got one more bad dad joke for you. You may have heard this one before. There's a man who's on his way to maybe the most important meeting in his life. This meeting is going to determine the trajectory of his career, and he's late. And he knows that if he's late to this meeting, that he is going to be, this could jeopardize his future. And so as he pulls in the parking lot, he sees that all the parking places are full. And so he starts to pray, God, you know how important this meeting is to my career. You got to help me here, God. Would you please just give me a, show me which way to go. Show me where I can park this car so I can get into this meeting. And while he's praying, he looks and he sees right in front of the door to this office building, someone backing out of their parking place. And his answer is, never mind, God, there's one up front. Happy Father's Day. Don't we do that all the time? God, would you help me in this situation? And when the situation comes, never mind, God, I got this. I can handle it now. Or God, I can take it from here. If we're honest, don't we do that? I do that. I'm trying not to. I hope that over the next few weeks that this conversation that we're going to have about discernment will help me and will help you remember that God is always speaking to us. God is talking to us. God is revealing God's self to us. Maybe not in the ways that we want God to. Maybe not in the ways that we expect God to. But maybe our prayer needs to be, God, would you give me ears to hear and eyes to see so that I can respond? Because I believe that you are present and working in my life. That's what discernment is all about. I want to leave you with just one more quick story. I read this week and it really spoke to me. It's a modern day parable by a Jesuit priest named Anthony de Mello. It's called The Explorer. And it's a story about a man who leaves his home village and goes to explore this far off land in the Amazon. And he returns home to his village and he tries to describe to his fellow villagers what he had seen and what he had heard in the Amazon. And he tells the villagers all about the majestic waterfalls, the towering trees and the exotic plant life and animals and people. And as he earnestly and passionately describes this place, he realizes that words are insufficient. Have you ever been there? Have you ever gone somewhere or you've experienced something that's life-changing and as hard as you tried to explain it, it was as if words just weren't enough. We have some dear friends that just got back from Italy, and last Sunday night we had them over to our house and they showed us pictures on the TV and talked about their trip. And almost every picture they would say, well, you know, the picture just doesn't do it justice. But then they would describe what they saw and what they heard. And at the very end, they said, well, you know what? You're just going to have to go yourself. They realized what the man in the parable realized. The rest of the story is the man in the parable, he realizes that the people just have to go for themselves. And so what he does is he draws them a map so that they can go too and experience this wonderful journey. But instead of going to this far off land, the people made copies of the map so that everyone could have one in their home. They framed the map and they put it in the town hall so that everybody could see it. They discussed the map often until they all became experts about the map, experts on the Amazon, even though none of them had ever actually been there. They'd never seen the towering trees. They'd never heard the rushing roar of those waterfalls. And I think sometimes, the reason why I want to leave you with that today is I think sometimes we're in danger of doing that with our faith and our relationship with God. We're in danger of knowing a lot of things about God without actually going to God and hearing and seeing for ourselves. That's what I hope this series is going to be about for the next few weeks, that we might go on this journey together of discernment and along the way that we might help each other begin to see those road signs along the way. You know, the best part about it, some of you may be sitting there, I just want to say this one more thing. You may be sitting there today and thinking, this is too much for me. I don't hear God. I don't see God. What am I doing wrong? I just want to leave you with this word of encouragement this morning about God's will and God's way. And this is just me. I honestly believe that if you're seeking God, if you're seeking to hear, if you're seeking to see, if you're asking God to reveal yourself, if your desire is to be in relationship with God where God is leading you and guiding you, I believe that you are on the right path to God's will and God's way. Because unless it's contrary to what God says in God's word or what God's speaking through God's spirit to you, it's more than just going this way or that way, this job or that job, this thing or that thing. What God wants more than anything, what God's will for your life and for my life and for our life together, is for us to trust Him. It's for us to be in relationship with Him. It's for us to live lives of service to others in response to God's love for us. You know what that sounds a lot like? Our mission statement. Growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him and love Him and serve Him. I believe that God's will is for us to be who God has created and called us to be. So I want to invite us to journey together down this road for the next few weeks and listen together and watch together to see what God might be saying to us as individuals and as a church. Would you go with me? Amen. We'll be right back.